Just stop and think for a moment about all the things you've posted online and all of your logins and your passwords. What happens to all of that stuff if you drop dead tomorrow? We're going to find out next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Yes, you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We thank you for that. I'm Phil. We have Aaron and Jay here today. Chris is on the road in Arizona somewhere, stuck in the middle of the yesterday storms, but he believes he's going to get out of there today, and he's going to check in the moment he gets mobile. We hope for that. But think about this now. When you die, what happens to your Facebook, Twitter, or your Google accounts? Those, of course, are just a few of the accounts that you have out there. But really, do you have a plan? And are the social media websites even ready to cooperate with your survivors? We're just scratching the surface with these questions. So joining us live is family financial planning expert and founder of Wealth Haven, Holly Isdale. Hi, Holly.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you, and hope you're well as well. What are the rules about ownership once you post a photo on Facebook or Twitter? Who owns that content?
Well, you technically have the ownership, but as you saw last weekend, it doesn't necessarily, or 2 weeks ago, you don't necessarily keep control of it after your death. So while you may have the copyright in the asset, protecting it can be pretty hard. And that copyright may or may not pass to your next of kin the way you want it to pass.
What happened recently that you're referencing?
Well, I was talking about all the pornographic pictures that got released of the celebrities.
Yeah, I just needed you to bring it up and talk about it, you know, so we have it back fresh in our memories again.
This way you say porn and we don't.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's a little trick we do. So what happens when you die? Are the websites getting more comfortable with allowing a proxy to get in there, grab all the photos and close the account?
Not really. I mean, I think what really happens is you've got to make sure there's authorization in your estate documents. And that's the big trip up for a lot of people, is that you think that your attorney or your executor, your trustee, your spouse could get online and just access stuff. But if you haven't put specific authorization in your documents, under most state laws, they don't have the right to get in. And there's some laws that are still on our books from 1986, if you can imagine, that govern electronic communications that will limit the ability of any of these providers to release information to you.
So you're saying you need to put your social media presence into your family trust?
You need to put in authorization. You certainly don't want to put your passwords in there. And frankly, you don't want to have to call your lawyer and rack up legal fees every time you decide that you're moving from Facebook to another platform. What you want to do is just have language in there, which is starting to become more common, that says, look, to the extent I have digital assets, regardless of what they are, because who would have thought 20 years ago or even 10 years ago that we'd be accessing apps the way we are today, whatever I have, I want to make sure that my executor or my trustee or my spouse, whoever you want to put in there, has access to those assets. And that's the first step, is to authorize. And the second step is to organize, because if you think about it, you have apps. 90% of the stuff that you have on your computers, on your hardware, on your laptops, on your phones, you can destroy when you die. You don't really need anyone there. But that 10% is critical to have access to.
All right. Gotcha on that one. I think I understand. But I wonder how many people actually have this. I'm guessing not a whole bunch. I know I don't.
I tell you that it's going to be very, very rare. Very few attorneys are adding these to their documents. And so what you need to do as an individual is to make sure that it's in there, or at least pull down a standard form and sign it that you authorize access. It's better if it's in a legal document.
So there's a boilerplate for this already.
There's some boilerplates out there, and I have a website called Digital Death that has some standard templates on it.
Yeah.
And there's some others that are out there as well. It's better if it's in your estate documents, obviously, but until your attorney gets around to it or you bring it to your attorney, it's a great way to at least get a start on it.
So you mentioned you don't need to put in the usernames and passwords and all that sort of thing. Does it matter then for your survivors? They don't need your logins? Can they just go directly to the website and say, here?
They know what the websites are. So it is good if you have some type of an organized list. And also if you can provide the passwords, because many times they're going to want some type of user identification information. It's also important Phil, to check the terms of service contract, and here, even as an attorney, it's mind-numbing to read through these things. But, for example, your Flickr account, if you call Flickr and say someone's dead, they're just going to delete the account.
Oh.
If you go to Facebook, they might make it into a memoriam page, but you might lose some of the functionality on the site and access to areas that you want. So it's important, by giving access or authorizing access, you're at least removing any criminal laws from coming into effect. And then it's really important to just write down at least the sites, because the passwords may change, but at least knowing I'm on Facebook, I'm on Google, I'm on all of these sites can be important.
Yeah, we're speaking with Holly Isdale with Wealth Haven. And here's what we need. You and I can go in on this if you want to. We need an app or a website that aggregates every website that where you've created a username and a password, because many of us, myself included, have been at this since the late 1980s. And
I've
forgotten more things I've signed up for than I log into on a daily basis. And it's all out there. So let's just say, who knows what's out there?
Absolutely. And, you know, you think about it, there are. If you do a search on the iTunes store, there are over 2,000 password applications out there. And, you know, most of them are not in the U.S., so you have some of these issues of, that's great, all your passwords are now sitting in some Greek, you know, website, and is that really where you want your information if you're not under U.S. laws?
You don't want the Greek people to have their hands on anything.
Oh, boy.
Right?
I'm just picking on that because that was one I was looking at. I mean, you can put them anywhere. I just wouldn't want them. I would be concerned about having half of that information out there, because even the most secure sites get hacked. But
what about all your devices? What about all your devices that you have?
Oh, well, heavens, yes, because you think about it. If you're like me, you had hard drives, you have soft drives, you probably have thumb drives rattling around. You might have CDs that have information or pictures on them. You've got articles you've written. You've got stuff hanging all over the place. And just getting rid of that stuff, is figuring it out, accessing it, downloading it, is tremendous.
Is there any legal benefit to just leaving everything where it is and locking the family out?
You might want to do that. I mean, you think about some of the stuff you have on your internet. You may not want
that's
exactly.
Right.
But I'm dead, and the joke's on them. They, you know.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
There's no shame in death.
There's no shame, actually, sometimes. Because if you think about it, you've got your trustee does need to get in there and access it. If we've got this huge push in our service providers to go online and go paperless, and it's great, except that your bank accounts come to your email, your utility bills come there, your credit cards come there. Your apps that we have, all of these apps with their in-app purchases and so forth, are linked to your credit cards. I logged into an app on my iPad the other day and realized I had like 7 subscriptions that I'd totally forgotten about that are just barely renewing all the time because, you know, you sign up for it and you just forget about these things.
Do any of these sites, if you say don't use it for any length of time, will they just, do any of them automatically maybe just cancel you if that happens, where say, you know, I haven't been on for a year or something along those lines?
Sadly, the ones that do that tends to be the ones that you want to use. So Google, for example, will make your email accounts inactive if you haven't used them for a period of time, and Yahoo will do the same. So those random accounts that you set up to get all that spam might be deleted. You may not care, but you may care because there may be those 3 things that come into that account that you do look for.
Yeah. What else? You mentioned one thing. There was a boilerplate form or two at digitaldeath.com, which is your website. What else can we find there?
There you should be able to find some articles on it and different information that's coming up. The other thing that you need to add in is healthcare proxies, because your healthcare information is left to your last legal representative. And so your healthcare records might be left to your second wife, but your kids don't have any access to that information.
Oh,
so that's an important tip for a lot of people, because they just don't think, you know, they want someone to pull the plug, but they don't think about who gets access to the information.
And it's hard to get around HIPAA, especially when the doctor or the nurse or the attendant at the front desk, they get nervous about violating HIPAA.
Absolutely. And HIPAA was actually designed specifically to let you get access to information after your death. And with all of our information now going online, how great would it be to be able to give somebody 50 years of medical history? Here's when I had issues. I had problems. Here's what my cholesterol was when I was in my 30s and 40s. You know, and I think it's a tremendous resource that it's so easy to add this to your documents, and yet nobody's really talking about it.
Holly Isdale, lovely to talk with you. There's more information, again, at digitaldeath.com, also at wealthhaven.com. That's your company, and we have a link to your website on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thanks for enlightening us on this topic.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Hey, you know what?